Think about the last time you heard an inspiring startup success story. The narrative probably jumped from brilliant idea in a garage straight to billion-dollar acquisition, right? But here's what nobody tells you. Between those two points lies years of grinding uncertainty, soul-crushing doubt, and the kind of mundane problem-solving that makes you question why you started at all. This gap, this messy, unglamorous middle, is where most ventures actually succeed or fail. It's the period when your initial excitement has worn off, the finish line remains invisible, and you're left wondering if you're building something meaningful or just wasting your time. The truth is, anyone can start something when enthusiasm runs high, and celebrating victories is easy. But navigating the middle? That requires a completely different skill set, one that combines psychological resilience, strategic patience, and the ability to make decisions when you have no idea if you're on the right track. Picture yourself 3 years into building something you care deeply about. The early momentum has faded, your savings are dwindling. Friends have stopped asking how it's going because they're tired of your uncertain responses. This is the reality of the middle years. They blur together in a haze of incremental progress that feels simultaneously crucial and meaningless. You're manufacturing optimism for your team while privately wrestling with fear. The psychological weight is immense because you lack the traditional markers of progress our brains crave. We're wired for immediate rewards. Dopamine floods our system when we achieve something tangible. But in the middle, those victories are rare and invisible. The solution? Hack your own reward system. Celebrate tiny wins that indicate genuine progress. When Behance finally appeared in Google search results without asking, "Did you mean enhance?" the team celebrated like they'd won an award. These micro celebrations create momentum when nothing else will. Ensure small wins correlate with real progress, not artificial metrics like press mentions or funding rounds, which reflect perception rather than substance. Fake victories inflate morale temporarily before crashing it lower. Your sense of self becomes unreliable at extremes. During peaks, you develop an inflated ego that dismisses advice. During valleys, you blame external forces to protect your confidence. Neither version makes optimal decisions. The friction you're trying to eliminate might be your greatest asset. Tension is fundamentally creative. It gives us fire, moves mountains, and forces us to discover solutions we'd never find in comfort. YouTube started as a failed dating site. Twitter emerged from a stalled podcasting platform. Instagram evolved from a forgotten check-in app called Bourbon. These pivots happened because friction forced deeper exploration. Commitment to suffering matters more than passion. Passion fades when things get hard, but commitment, the decision to endure years of rejection, unexpected losses, and painful conflicts, separates projects that survive from those that don't. Society naturally resists innovation through doubt from friends, investor rejections, and customer indifference. This isn't personal. It's the immune response of a system maintaining stability. Hardship unites teams. When you support people through adversity and collectively overcome obstacles, you create bonds no team-building exercise can replicate. The impediment becomes the way forward. Self-awareness means recognizing you're least trustworthy when you feel most certain. The best founders balance confident vision with humble receptivity to feedback. This requires being permeable, openly listening while selectively integrating what actually improves your work. Truly innovative work can't just follow advice. Describing your idea in familiar terms makes you understandable but unremarkable. The future starts on a fringe. You need courage to be weird, attracting a small group who genuinely love what you're creating, rather than diluting your vision for mass appeal. When your mind becomes your worst enemy, you need obake help, placebo spelled backward. It's the ability to suspend disbelief in yourself, seeing possibilities beyond what current reality suggests is reasonable. This isn't delusion. It's the necessary optimism that lets you keep building when every rational indicator says quit. Our brains excel at immediate cause and effect, but struggle with long-term consequences. Playing the long game means investing in relationships without immediate payoff, exploring ideas without measuring output, and backing promising people over promising projects. Jeff Bezos built Amazon by prioritizing long-term market leadership over quarterly profits, making bold investments, and normalizing failure as innovation. This requires structural protection, systems that shield long-term thinking from short-term pressure. Pinterest's Ben Silberman divides the company's journey into multi-year chapters with clear goals and reflection periods, rejecting Silicon Valley's obsession with compressing a decade into 2 years. He draws inspiration from medicine, where mastery requires 7 to 12 years of practice. Disruption often comes from thesis-driven outsiders unconstrained by industry norms. Airbnb and Uber succeeded not because their founders were industry experts, but because they weren't. Great teams aren't assembled, they're grown through constant iteration. When scaling, resist immediately hiring more people. Resourcefulness provides competitive advantages that resources alone can't. Before adding headcount, improve processes and make your existing team more effective. Prioritize initiative over experience. Someone with genuine excitement and willingness to learn will almost always exceed expectations through sheer hustle, while experts often apply outdated solutions from previous contexts. Initiative is contagious in ways that expertise isn't. Your most valuable team members are those who've overcome substantial challenges, not because suffering builds character, but because it builds genuine strength and tolerance for adversity. Look for people who build on your ideas and invite you to build on theirs. Your second conversation should feel more interesting than your first. This is the yes and principle from improv, accepting what others present and adding to it rather than dismissing it. Creating something from nothing requires passionate debate, which means you need people who are argumentative, opinionated, and sometimes difficult. These individuals protect you from groupthink and harmful compromise. The final stage brings unexpected emotions, elation mixed with fear. After years of building, unsettling questions emerge. Will your creation survive? Will success corrupt your ambitions? Will you lose the identity you've built? Finishing requires different skills than those that brought success. You need advisors for negotiations and the psychological adjustment of letting go. Yet here's the paradox. Even as you finish, maintain the mindset that you're just starting. Facebook's "This journey is 1% finished" stickers embody this truth. Progress can diminish our willingness to make bold moves. The middle, that unglamorous stretch of uncertainty and friction, isn't something to endure. It's where you develop the resilience and strategic thinking that define you. It teaches you that commitment matters more than passion, that friction creates rather than destroys, and that patience beats speed. When you reach an endpoint, own your outcome, celebrate it, then recognize that creativity never truly ends. Projects die only to become soil for new growth. In a world obsessed with overnight success, the messy middle is your competitive advantage. While others chase shortcuts, you're building something with depth and genuine value. The middle isn't where you survive, it's where you actually live.